The Artist's Process. Goya created his Disasters of War series by using the techniques of etching and dry point. Goya was able to use this technique to create nuanced shades of light and dark that captured the powerful emotional intensity of the horrific scenes of the Disasters of War. The first step was to etch the plate. This was done by covering a copper plate with wax and then scratching lines into the wax with a stylus, a sharp needle-like implement, which thus exposed the metal. The plate was then placed in an acid bath. The acid bit into the metal where it was exposed, the rest of the plate being protected by the wax. Next, the acid was washed from the plate and the plate was heated so the wax softened and could be wiped away. The plate then had a soft, even recessed line etched by the acid where Goya had drawn in the wax. The next step, dry point, created lines by a different method. Here Goya scratched directly into the surface of the plate with a stylus. This resulted in less even lines since each scratch left a ragged edge on each side of the line. These minute ridges catch the ink and create a soft, distinctive line when printed. However, because these ridges are delicate and are crushed by repeatedly being run through a press, the earliest prints in a series are generally more highly valued. Finally, the artist inked the plate and wiped away any excess so that the ink remained only in the areas where the acid bit into the metal or where the stylus had scratched the surface. The plate and moist paper were then placed atop one another and run through a press. The paper, now a print, drew the ink from the metal and became a mirror of the plate. Adapted and excerpted from Cristina Zappella, Francisco Zoya, and There's Nothing to be Done from the Disasters of War, A Smart History, August 9, 2015. All Smart History content is available for free at www.smarthistory.org, Creative Commons license, BY-NC-SA. The last group of paintings that have been attributed to Goya are called the Black Paintings. Found on the walls of his home, they were gruesome and dark in technique and theme. The reasons for these paintings were never explained by Goya. I think by now you can see that he wasn't the biggest talker. He didn't often explain his art, probably partly because of the era he lived in. It's likely that artists didn't want to write down something that could be used as evidence of sedition or treason. The black paintings were painted directly on the plaster of his house and were later removed from the wall and mounted on canvas for their move to the museum that purchased them. This happened many years after Goya's death. The paintings depicted wildly disturbing scenes that were never meant to be seen by strangers. They represented Goya's own thoughts and statements for himself, and all were titled after his death. If he gave them titles, they have been lost with him. And therefore, the titles may not faithfully represent what Goya meant to communicate with the works. While Saturn devouring his son may be the most popularly known piece from Goya's black paintings, his painting The Dog, a depiction of what is commonly thought to be a drowning dog, has had the biggest impact on artists who follow after him because of his use of color gradients and implied themes. But mostly it was the color gradients. There is, of course, major debate regarding Goya's black paintings. Most scholars firmly believe that Goya's son and grandson told the truth and that the famous artist painted these paintings while living at Quinto del Sordo. But there are some who feel this may be one of the art world's most successful con jobs. The problem with the black paintings is this. There is no evidence that Goya painted them. So first, the lack of evidence. No visitor ever mentioned them. Ever. And when you think about living in the early 1800s and going to give Goya a visit and that painting of Saturn is hanging around as you sip your coffee and talk about the weather, you probably mentioned them to someone after you left Goya's residence. Probably. I mean, I would. Hey, I wasn't even in the Goya house and I'm telling you about them. Then there's the reputed character of Goya's offspring. The sad fact is that his son was the kind of businessman who would have sold his own mother, and that his grandson was a down-on-his-luck type. Then there's the work of art historian Juan José Junquera. While his work is disputed by other Goya scholars, Junquera lays the groundwork of a convincing argument. Junquera claims that, according to land deeds at the time of purchase, Quinto del Sordo was a single-story home when Goya bought it. He also found that there was no permit for an expansion to add a second floor until after Goya's death. These home repair and renovation facts don't seem all that interesting until we realize that half the paintings were found on the second floor walls. These findings make some people think that the paintings were painted by his son and sold either by his son or by his grandson for the money his famous name would give. When asked if museums would remove the black paintings or reattribute the work in face of the evidence Junquera discovered, museum curators said they would not, because paintings like The Dog had been too influential to artists in the 1900s to be changed in their standing. And while it might seem like the museum curators are playing a little more freely with the facts than one would expect, This is not an uncommon stance in museum culture. There are many famous pieces of art that are seen by contemporary viewers in ways that they were never meant by the artist. Rembrandt's The Night Watch was neither called The Night Watch, nor was it a night scene when the artist first completed it. But years of grime darkened the painting, and the scene became recognized as a night view of military maneuvers. When it was suggested that the piece be cleaned, when it finally was, in 2019, many suggested it be left, as it was the darkened state was how people recognized it. For some, art is not firmly rooted in the realm of facts and truth, but rather in aesthetics and perceptions. But returning to the Goya paintings, are these clever forgeries? Or are they really Goya's work? Lots of people say they know one way or the other, but what stands is that they are exceptional paintings that have influenced the path of modern art.